We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We do have a very special guest in studio as Roy Blunt, senator from Missouri, along with some others, are introducing a bipartisan bill to make adoption more affordable for families in America.
And it's been a little while since we've had our friend Randy Bolliner in studio to tell more about this, but I asked this morning, are you aware of this? Oh, yeah, it's a total game changer for families that want to adopt, and so that's all the more reason for us to talk about it. He helps to run Zoe's House Adoption Agency locally. He's got quite the story. If you've never heard it, we'll let him tell it. Thanks for being here, and thanks for bringing little one along with you.
We are glad to be here. Yeah, I'm here with Piper, who is 9 and fascinated with a tablet right now.
Yes, every 9-year-old is.
All right, so you and Wicked have never met. It's been a little while since I've seen you. For those who don't know the story and all of the numbers associated with your life, share.
It's the numbers that freak people out. Yes. So we'll start with that. Yeah.
And let me throw this out there also. Every time we have you in studio, we have people asking adoption questions. If you have those for Randy, 22980, feel free. We'll screen those and we'll hit you with those a little bit later.
I will do my best with those. My name is Randy. My wife, Kelsey, and I have been married close to 30 years and had three boys a logical 4 years apart, which made sense. And when they were all about 4, 8, and 12, we stepped into the adoption world. It had always been kind of on of our heart to do. We felt like it was an extension of our convictions about the value of life. And so we adopted, this would have been in 06, we adopted our first little girl. We started in June of 06, had no paperwork, no money. And by October of that year, we got a phone call and they said, will you come to Las Vegas? There's a little girl who's been born. So we fly to Las Vegas and we get Zoe. We bring Zoe home and we've got Zoe home for about 2 years. And when you adopt, people come out of the woodwork to ask questions because everybody talks about it, but nobody's ever done it, or they don't really know that much about it. So we're fielding lots of questions about how this works. And my wife made the comment, she goes, you know, what if there's an emergency and somebody wants to give us a child? We're not even ready yet. We should just get the paperwork ready. And I'm like, well, you know, okay. So we work on the paperwork. We get it done. It finishes on a Wednesday night, what we would call a home study, have everything ready. On a Wednesday night, Thursday morning, I get a message from a stranger that said, my sister-in-law just had twins in Florida. Do you know anyone who would take them? So it was 12 hours later. I call her. We talk on the phone. That was Thursday morning. Friday afternoon, we walk out of the hospital in Florida with twin girls that we did not know existed 24 hours before that. We get home with our twins. So now we've got three boys, three girls. Get home with our twins and our loving life. And when they're about 6 or 8 weeks old, my wife takes me back into the hall bathroom, which is where you have your meetings when you have a large family. And she handed me a pregnancy test and screamed into a towel because she was pregnant. We had 6-week-old twin new little girls. Wow. And we were expecting Piper, who's here in the studio with me now.
Wow.
So we went from three boys, four girls rather quickly. 2 years later, we got a phone call from the twins' birth mother's sister. And she said, we just found my sister. She has been homeless. She's in a very tight spot. And she just told somebody she's pregnant again with twins again. And I blurted out, surely not, because I just couldn't fathom that that would happen twice. I realize now that medically that happens. And so we pressed into that. Immediately I went from surely not to what's going to happen to these kids, because we already had the twin siblings. And all I could see in my mind were my twin girls at 15, at the time they were two, but looking at me at 15 saying, there were more like us and you didn't want them. And I just couldn't bear the thought of growing up with that. So we pursued those twins and brought them home at birth, Creed and Cadence, a boy and a girl, that are half siblings to the first ones. And then, now we're at 9, which would have been 5 girls, 4 boys.
I'm losing track, by
I am
the way.
Too,
yeah.
I am 10.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Yeah. 5 boys, five girls, 4 boys at that point. And the same birth mom ended up having one more little boy who was immediately taken into custody by Child Protective Services in Florida. We raced down there because we had his four siblings.
Well, of course.
What do you do? And plus, it's like we have already obliterated the normally accepted number of children in America. So what's one more?
You did that a while back.
Right. So we go to Florida, and we're sitting across the table from, you know, a little social worker who's in her early 20s and, you know, just doesn't have the context for the thing. And she said, I'm sorry, but we have already have him in state custody. She's not a safe mother, and you can't have him. And even though she wanted us to have him, her family wanted us to have him, it took us about 90 days to sort it out, during which we found a judge who issued a court order removing him from state custody. We took him from the state, very similar to how the state would take him from a family. State of Florida didn't see that coming. Walked in, served papers on the state, and left with our youngest son. So we have 10, five boys, five girls, ages 26 down to 4.
For those that lost track, how many of your 10 are adopted?
Six.
Okay. Six adopted.
Six.
Four biological.
Four bio, six adopted. Of the six, five with the same birth mother.
So how many are currently under your roof?
Eight.
Eight currently.
Eight currently. Yeah.
Forgive me, but I've got one for 4 months and I'm losing control.
Yeah, that first 4 months are hard, though. And then the next 18 years are hard
when
as well.
When does it get easy?
It doesn't. It just gets different.
When they turn 30? Is that when they...
I don't know yet. I'm looking. I have a 26-year-old. He's definitely easier.
I want to go back to the first time that you adopted the twins because... one of the things, and we have discussed childbirth a lot, obviously with laws coming down in Missouri and Mississippi and Georgia, we've just been discussing those laws a lot. And some people have said, well, the easy, obvious alternative to that is adoption. Adoption is expensive as all get up.
Yeah.
When you adopted the first two, mm-hmm. you had said you had planned and you had saved and whatnot. How expensive is it to go to Las Vegas and adopt two kids that you have no relation and no friendship to and no whatsoever? How could you afford that?
The first one was Vegas, which is a single.
The single,
the first
me.
One. We decided in June to do this. And, you know, people, when we get out of the van and people see all of us get out of the van, invariably somebody tries to make a joke and says, you know, do you know what causes that? And it's like, my kids are six different ethnicities, goofball. It's like, yes, paperwork caused this. Yeah. This is what led to this. But paperwork and a significant amount of money. I think we spent $30,000 to $35,000.
Wow.
I don't have that kind of money. That's I pastor a church. That's not my walking around money. At the time, we were doing some other things. And we literally raised it. We had dinners. We talked to friends. We scrambled together. People love adoption, and they will help people adopt. You know, once in a while you'll run across somebody that says, well, why should I help somebody adopt? You know, I paid for the expenses of my own child. Well, normally a lot of your insurance paid for a lot of that.
I know that to be true.
Insurance doesn't kick in on an adoption. That doesn't apply. And so you've got to come up with a lot of those expenses up front. So we just raised it from friends, strangers, people we didn't know said, hey, we believe in what you're doing. We want to help. It was work. But that's where the money came from.
Did you do the same thing fundraising with the second and third time through?
We did. With the twins, it was overnight. And so we were on a plane without money. You know, I probably put the plane tickets on a credit card. I don't remember. But once we got there and got the lay of the land and saw that this was going to happen, we reached out to our network of friends and said, this is the situation. Will you help us? This is, you know, and friends step up. People honestly want to help. People have good hearts. And when you can lay it out there in front of them, and, you know, we've been kind of blessed to be able to communicate and stand in front of people and explain, they've helped. I'm not saying it's been easy, but it's been doable.
Is 35 about average? Because I've heard numbers
higher.
Yeah,
I would
say
national average is about 40 right now. A little time has passed. You know, with Zoe's House, we are largely donor funded. And so our expenses, one of the reasons we started Zoe's House was my wife and I are the kind of people that look around and think, hey, we could do this better. And truth is, sometimes you can. And so the expenses are considerably less because someone somewhere else has donated money.
All right. So coming up after the break, we've got Randy Bolander in studio from Zoe's House. You can check it out right now. Zoe'sHouseAdoptions.com. It's unbelievable. Randy's got 10 kids. A lot of them are adopted. This new adoption bill, we're going to talk about it because Missouri Senator Roy Blunt and some others have decided, look, we have to figure out a way to make this more affordable. We'll get Randy's thoughts on it, obviously the expert on adoption. And if you have questions for Randy, text him in 22980.
Yeah, we'll talk about the need. I think we can't stress enough what the need is for adoptive parents. And there are some fun features to your life, I think, when you've got that many people around.
Boredom is not an issue.
I got to know what Christmas is like.
We'll do that. We're on Facebook Live. We'll keep going with some of that on the Facebook Live during the break. But text your questions into 22980.
Randy Bolander is with us in studio from Zoe's house. He has 10 children, many of them adopted, and the reason we brought him in was to help us unpack the new bill that is being introduced bipartisanship. It's weird. Led by Republican Senator Roy Blunt out of Missouri, Bob Casey, a Democrat out of Pennsylvania, also a Republican Senator out of Oklahoma, have announced the Adoption Tax Credit Refundability Act, legislation that would make the current adoption tax credit refundable. Lawmakers are trying to make it easier and more affordable for you to adopt children because, as we're learning, it's $30,000 to $35,000. By the way, before insurance to have Britain, our bill would have been $30,000. So it's kind of on the same level, but insurance doesn't help out with adoption.
Right.
Your thoughts on this bill, because obviously you have a much deeper feeling. You can physically feel and touch the effects of this bill more than any of us right here.
And we are probably one of the few families who benefited from the bill the old way when it was refundable, then it became non-refundable, then it became refundable again. And so we have worked with it through the spectrum. There's an adoption tax credit of $13,800 when a family adopts. If they adopt a special needs child, that $13,800 automatically is credited. If they adopt another child, they need to prove their adoption expenses up until that amount, which isn't all that hard, but they need to turn in receipts. For years, when you adopted, you got that tax credit, and it was refundable to you, meaning if you had paid your taxes during the course of the year out of your paycheck, at the end of the year, you got that money cash back. And what it enabled people to do was they could scramble to raise funds, even borrow from grandma, take out a second mortgage on their house whatsoever, knowing that at the end of the year, they'd get $13,000 back and they could pay that back. And it didn't defray all of the expenses of adoption, but it brought it down into the doable realm for the guy who's making $40,000-$50,000 and is a great dad, or a great family. And so somewhere along the line, I think during the Obama administration, they decided it was not refundable. It was a credit, but it wasn't refundable. So what that meant for Joe Average, who was paying his taxes all along the way, maybe at the end of the year, he was going to get a $500 rebate or something like that. He didn't get the full 13 back. It just stayed on the books. And unless he just quit paying his taxes during the year, it stayed on the books forever. So they might have had a $13,000 credit, but they never saw any benefit from the bill. In recent years, they've reversed it. And it is, or maybe they're working on reversing it now, and making it refundable so that the family gets immediate benefit from that tax credit.
How many people do you hear from who would adopt if not for the finances?
Finances, I think, are the number one thing that scares people. They can't fathom raising that kind of money. They don't have that kind of money. And they go, well, how in the world does it cost this much? I've got three kids. I never had to spend that before. Well, you didn't have to spend it all at once, but you're spending it over time. And so that break brings it into the doable realm where people can get their head around it. Joe Average can't get his head around spending $40,000 on anything at one time.
All right. Talk to me about need. Again, if you have questions for Randy, text him into 22980. We'll get to those after the 11:30 news. But talk to me about the need right now for adoptive parents.
There are two tracks to adoption, and they are very different, and I'll talk about domestic, just in the United States. In the United States, there are two tracks to adoption. There's private adoption, which means an expectant woman of her own volition decides to make an adoption plan. She meets with a private adoption agency. They find families that they have vetted. They pair them up. She chooses the family, and that walks all that out. There is a need in that area. Now, there are a lot of people who would like to adopt, but a good number of them are fairly particular. They would like a boy. They would like a girl. Well, you just cut the pool in half. Some of them want to adopt within their own race. Some don't. Increasingly, more people are open to interracial adoption, far more than 10 years ago. So there's that track. There's a need there. Not that there aren't other people to adopt, but you never know what kind of family that an expectant mom wants to choose. And so whoever you are, there's probably an expectant mom out there looking for somebody just like you. Some of them want an older set of parents. Some of them want a younger set of parents. They get to choose that. And so you're probably the perfect fit for somebody out there.
I'm just going to say, what are some common factors that would keep a family from getting picked, selected, approved for adoption?
You know, it's all over the map. A lot of it is how many kids do they have? But that some birth moms want their child to go to a large family. So that can work for your good. There are very few things that could rule you out in the way of your life.
Go through the other tracks if you would while we're still.
So that's the private track. The foster to adopt track is completely different because the foster care system, where the state steps in and takes children for their own good, for their own protection, that ultimately is a system for reunification, for rebuilding families, as it should be. It should not be easy for the state to terminate the rights of a parent just because they're in a difficult time or have made a mistake. But some of those cases are impossible to reunify. When it gets to that point, those children are available for adoption. Now, many of those children come from a high-needs background. They've seen trauma. They have been hurt. Maybe there are physical needs, whatsoever. The need on that end is massive. Just in Johnson County, the foster care load in the past 8 or 10 years has increased by 30%. And so there are a ton of kids in the system that are needing homes. Now, they may not be infants. They may be 3, they may be 5, they may be 15, but they need good homes. And for people who want to adopt, it's a way to do it with far less money up front. You just need to be a little more flexible.
My big question is, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, Randy, but if you're seeing just in Johnson County a foster care load increase by 30% and thousands of kids in this country need parents, why is it so damn hard to adopt a kid?
Well, again, through the foster care system.
And where does that $30,000 or $35,000 go?
Right.
Because, I mean, we're talking about 50 kids. That's a lot of jack. Where's that money go?
Most of those, the thousands and thousands that are available for adoption are in the foster system. And so they are 7 and traumatized. They are 15. Or they're an infant who was removed, but...
Right.
For whatever reasons, they have been difficult to place, and the state has to walk out a process before terminating rights. So that's where most of that backup is available for adoption. A lot of families, when they choose to adopt, what they imagine is bringing a baby home from the hospital. That's not going to happen through the foster system. Those kids are just as precious and just as dear and need families, but if you're wanting to bring a baby home, it's probably not going to happen through the foster care system, and I'm sure somebody has already texted saying, I already did it, and it happens, but it's an anomaly. On the other side, on the private side, why is the cost so high? Because that cost on the state side or the foster care side is being paid by the state. Somebody's paying for those social workers. Somebody's paying for the care of the mom. Somebody's paying for all that.
For the birth itself?
Right. Somebody's paying for all that. It's just that the state is paying for it. On the private side, we have to have master's level social workers. We have lawyers involved. We have care of birth moms. Now, one of the misconceptions is that a birth mom gets a lot of finances. They don't.
Buy a baby.
No, there's
can't
a state.
Sell a baby.
There's a state cap on it. It's a couple of $1,000s that they can receive in assistance. No woman is having a baby to make money via adoption. But it does take a while to do that because it should be hard to place a child in a family. What are we doing that we should vet people more for?
Coming up, we'll answer your questions. Text them in, 22980. Throw them up on Facebook. Facebook.com/981KMBZ. We are live. Randy Bolander is in studio from Zoe's house. Go to zoeshouseadoptions.com and learn more. Yes, they can answer all of your questions about adopting. If you want to throw them to us on the text line, you can. Facebook and on Twitter at KMBZ Radio. Few more minutes with Randy Bolander from Zoe's House. Check it out at zoeshouseadoptions.com, where you can learn more about adopting in the state of Kansas. And we just went through a bunch of interesting questions, just rapid fire from the text line. If you weren't watching us on Facebook Live, Jamie, fire away, because you asked a whole bunch of good ones for Randy.
Yeah, we'll repeat a couple of these. Let me go through again a quick list that we just went through on Facebook Live of the different types or groups of people that may want to adopt. and how difficult it may be or likely it may be. I think that's an important thing that we need to point out that I don't think I realized, that it's not always as much about being the how society views you. It's how the adoptive mother may.
At the end of the day, expected mother makes a very important decision, as it should be.
So I'll just make myself the example. Single woman at 40, not getting rich, but supporting myself.
Right. Totally possible. Again, it depends on the private side, what an expectant mother would want. To be fair, many of them are looking for the home maybe they never had, and that is often a mom and a dad. But it happens, and it's legal, and it's encouraged. On the foster to adopt side, it's very, very common.
Unmarried couples.
Generally, that's treated as a single individual adopting. It's just how the state looks at it.
Okay. Same-sex couples.
Legal. Through foster to adopt, private agencies are, by nature of private agencies, pick and choose. And so they are allowed to, based on their religious convictions, walk that out. But it happens both ways.
Are there any other, I mean, those were a few scenarios that I had in my head. Are there any other features of a relationship or a person that might factor into whether you're likely or less likely to be picked?
You know, no, because for every situation, there's an expectant mom out there thinking, man, that would be what I would look for. And so big families, small families, you know, people later in life, people earlier, may take longer, but there aren't that many reasons if the home study goes well that they wouldn't.
How many people come to you from out of state, and what can you do for them?
At Zoe's House, I'm on the board there. My wife's the executive director, and we serve expectant moms in Missouri and Kansas. We're licensed on both sides. But we can serve families almost in all 50 states. So we have placed children in Virginia. We placed them in California, in Texas. I would say the majority of our families are local, but it can happen across state lines pretty easily.
Are there some states that are more adoption friendly than others?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and it isn't so much adoption friendly because nobody would like to be adoption hostile.
Right.
But
like length of time before you can take the child out of state, that kind of stuff.
Clear law is golden. Like the clearer it is, the easier it is to navigate. And so some states are just clearer about what needs to happen, and there are less surprises when you get to finalization at court. You know, one of the questions somebody had was, what about an expectant mom changing her mind? How does that work? And of course, that's the Lifetime movie that everybody has seen. And
yeah,
you know, it's heartbreaking, and I'm not saying it never happens. It doesn't happen as often, particularly with a good agency, as you would expect, because that woman has been counseled through the entire process and she's been prepared. When she has the baby, she has, you know, 24, 48 hours later, depending on how she's doing, she will sign a consent form, a relinquishment of her parental rights. And then within a couple of days, that goes to court and the custody is given to the adoptive family. At that point, it's very unlikely anything could happen. She would have to prove that she were coerced into that. Some states have longer periods of time. Some states have 72 hours. Some states have, you know, I think there's one state it's got like a 2-week period. That's a long time. That's a long time with a full range of emotions. And so we encourage people to, you know, stay in states that are clearer because it's safer for everybody.
Are you there for that moment? Because for the moment when she signs, because I imagine that I don't know what happened in that woman's life to get her to that point, but I have to imagine, and I'm even getting emotional talking about it, that moment she signs over that she doesn't want to be the mother of this child. Is that moment, how hard is that moment? Are you ever there for that? Have you
seen that? I am personally not there at the moment of signing. Generally, that is maybe a social worker and an attorney. And maybe even a second attorney to make sure she's well represented. We kind of try and cover all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably not the most emotional moment. It's the final goodbye. And you know, when you say that she's signing, she doesn't want to be the parent of that child. Most of the time, that's not what they're saying. They're saying it would be better for this child to for someone else to parent it. The idea that, because sometimes people use language of, well, they didn't want them. No, they loved them with just this incredible love, so much that they wanted the best for them and recognized that maybe they're not it.
Is it usually the younger women that you see that pick up the phone and call you? Does it generally skew younger?
20s, you know, although we've had older and we've had younger. When we decided to do this, I kind of thought that, you know, every young woman that would come to us was like a high school junior or senior and just wanted to go on to college. And, you know, I think we had one of those in the last couple of years. It's a 35-year-old professional. It's a 22-year-old who's working at Hardee's. You know, it really spans the gamut.
I want to talk about the kids that are not adopted.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the kids that mom says, yes, I do want to make this loving decision for the child that would be better cared for in a different family. Either the children that there are not enough adoptive parents for, or maybe she doesn't find someone that is a good fit for that child. Talk to me about the kids that are not placed.
That, I hate to say never, because as soon as you say it, again, somebody will text in. That hardly ever happens in the private system, where a young woman says, I want to make this plan, and then a family cannot be found. There's even in those cases where unexpectedly a child is born with incredibly debilitating special needs, there are groups of families out there that are saying, I'm ready to say yes to that, and they will. So that just doesn't happen. I would say it happens on the foster to adopt side, where for whatever reason, that just doesn't happen, and it's called aging out of the foster care system. And they end up being released with, you know, a little bit of assistance, maybe job training, but it's painful and it's hard and it happens.
Let me just tell people really quickly. Some of you are texting in stories or very specific questions to you. Is there a way that people can contact you with some of those questions?
Through the Zoe's House Adoptions website, somebody maybe can answer those, particularly if they're general. If they get very specific, we may not, because we don't want to speak incorrectly into a situation that we don't understand.
Go online now. I'm staring at the site. It's zoeshouseadoptions.com, zoeshouseadoptions.com. Randy, thank you so much for the time, man. It is an incredible story. We wish you nothing but the best. It's a tremendous alternative to different things, and it is a tedious process, but the work you guys are doing is amazing. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Randy Bolander joining us from Zoe's House. Again, if you have questions about adoption, head over to the website, zoeshouseadoptions.com. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.